It's No Crumbs Left, here for my podcast, sitting across from Liz Josephsburg. Liz, who are you? Tell us about yourself.
Hi, Terry. I'm so happy to be here with you. I am a weight loss expert. I help people lose weight, but most of all, I help people change their minds, I think, is what I'm in the business of doing, and have spent about almost now 20 years in the industry, and have helped people like Jennifer Hudson and Jessica Simpson and Charles Barkley and Katie Couric and Al Roker and those kinds of folks. But my story is that I myself lost 65 pounds and I work every day to keep those off. And recently became an author myself and am growing a very strong business where I'm trying to help people uncover what's really making them eat rather than just a diet.
One of the favorite things that you've ever told me is that, you know, we were talking at one point and there was something and you're like, well, food won't make that better. And I like it because I always bring that back to myself where it's just like it's 9 o'clock at night and you feel like having something, not even necessarily because you're hungry, but because it's 9 o'clock at night and, you know, you're hungry for something. And or if I'm in a situation that's stressful because, you know, I'm a blogger, I like to eat, I like food. The truth is I've been known to overeat some. So that's one of the nuggets that you gave me that I use and say again and, you know, repeat to other people.
Yeah, well, and you have a hard life because you're around food all the time. And a lot of the book that I just wrote is about brain science and about anytime we're exposed to food, we actually are triggered to eat food because we didn't have enough food for the majority of our evolution. So now when we're around food, even when we're full, we can be triggered to overeat. So I think that's what's been amazing about your sort of evolution is that you've learned that just because you have an urge to eat it and you make delicious food, that you can override urges and you can understand that the body is trying to drive you to eat something even though you don't need it. You may want it, but you don't need it.
Right. What are some of your best – give us some of your tips. Tell me, what's the name of your book?
My book is called Target 100.
And did this come out of working with people all of these years?
Yeah. You know, I was at Weight Watchers for 11 years first. I played literally every role there was to play at that institution, right, from a client all the way up to the top executive levels. I was their national brand spokesperson. I left there about 6 years ago, and I wanted to come out of Weight Watchers and not be a Weight Watchers expert anymore, but be a weight loss industry expert. So I started working all over the world, literally consulting on every, you know, large brands like Lifetime Fitness and Optum Healthcare and United Healthcare, but really getting my feet wet in technology and studying, going back to school, and really getting a full view on what's happening in the industry and what's evolving and changing. And Target 100 for me came out of really understanding that when I've helped myself or other people lose weight, it wasn't just about food, right? I mean, that's one of my taglines is this isn't about food. You know, there isn't a single person that I've met who doesn't know a baby carrot is smarter than, you know, a chocolate bar. But in the moment, can you jump that abyss from action to intention? And that's a really big thing that no one is teaching. So Target 100 looks at nutrition, of course, but then hydration, movement, exercise, sleep, and stress as part of the weight loss equation. And I think once you start to look at weight loss as a holistic picture, not just like what I put in my face today, I think it really makes you realize that, wow, when I haven't slept, I'm a monster and I can eat anything and I can't be controlled. And those realizations lead to change more than just being like, hey, I'm going to stick to a food plan and not examine me as a holistic person, if that makes sense.
And let's break it down. The first one, was the first one movement or water?
Nutrition. Okay. I say I always start with food for people because I think like where we are as a nation of understanding weight loss, I think we have to start with food. So we look at, I'm always asking people to reduce their carbohydrate intake. So Target 100, everything's built around the number 100. So 100 grams of carbs about in a day. And I always get really specific about saying about, like with little, you know, air quotes around it, because I think the biggest piece of what I teach is I want to eradicate guilt and shame from the weight loss process. And I think, when I started researching this book, I did a lot of research on brain science. And what we learned is that when you feel guilty or shameful about a choice, it actually activates the reward system. So you go and you overeat because you feel badly about something that you just did. And that was me. I mean, that's why I think I can relate to people. I'm holding off 65 pounds. I remember it like it was yesterday, that I would try to lose weight and I would follow a plan and I would make a perceived mistake and then I would really just throw in the towel because there it went. Guilt, shame activated the reward center and I'm overeating. So nutrition we start with. We go around 100 grams of carbs because – not because carbs are evil. I love carbs. Like, this is not a low-carb diet. I learned from watching people in the science rooms that everyone needs some sort of a stake in the ground, and that once you have that kind of guideline, we can work from there, right? It could be that 110 grams a day really works for you, or around 110 grams a day. I never want you to feel guilty or shameful if you go to 115, because you're still going to lose weight. It's just, can you stay around that guideline? That 100 grams of carbs really forces you to look at sugar. It forces you to look at processed foods, and it moves you away from those two things. So if I can just gently move someone away, then they really start losing weight. So nutrition is really, that first bucket. Then we look at hydration. Hydration is critical, and no one's really talking about that in the weight loss industry, about just how important, we are built of water. And if we don't hydrate completely, our metabolic system just isn't going to be running at its optimal rate. So kind of getting into that space and really saying, okay, I'm going to feed and hydrate. Then we look at movement, exercise, stress, and sleep.
When I, you and I have worked together some, and when one of the things that you really got me doing is drinking more water and keeping track of it. Mm-hmm. How much water do you recommend that people drink, and why does it help?
Well, I ask you again, because I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible for people, is it's around the number 100, right? So 100 ounces of water a day. And everyone always freaks out, right? They're like, oh my God, that's so much water. It's actually not that much water. It's right bullseye in the middle of what's actually recommended by the government in the government guidelines of how much a woman and a man should hydrate. Women, it's like 96 ounces, I think. And men, it's like 106 or 9. So we're right in the middle of that guideline, right? It's just that 75% of America is walking around critically dehydrated, right? So do you remember kind of when you added the water and how that felt?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just feels good. I mean, your skin looks better. You feel good. Definitely it holds off some of the hunger, or it helps me make good decisions because I'm not just empty all of the time. One of the other things, I know you'll get to it, is one of the things that I've really liked is having a cocktail, or, having a food plan where it's like I have a couple of cocktails a week. So it's like, for me, mostly I'm doing Whole30 because that's the way I prefer to eat.
Yes.
And when I'm doing a Whole30, I'm not having a cocktail. But when I'm just sort of using that as a guideline, it's really the way that I'm eating, which is certainly low carb. But then it's like I'll have a cocktail or two a week. And then your thing is, if you want to have a second cocktail, you have to drink an entire glass of water. And what's the reasoning behind that?
Exactly. So I'm a huge wino. Everyone knows it. So I was like, I'm not going to create a plan where you can't have some wine, because I've lost my weight drinking wine. I've helped hundreds and thousands of people lose weight drinking. Having a couple cocktails a week is fabulous. I kind of designed this thing for myself, and it just seems to really work for others. I love to give myself a little rule or a little game to play. So for me, when I sit down at a restaurant, I have to have a glass of water first. I can't order a cocktail, because if I order a cocktail first, I'm going to kind of like get a little woozy with my order. So I order a glass of water first, I get my cocktail, and then I have to, the rule for me is, have a glass of water in between every cocktail. I can't order another one until I've, finished a whole glass of water. What that does is just keeps you hydrated. It slows you down, because I would be halfway through one drink ordering the next one if I didn't have a little bit of a guideline for myself. So it worked wonders for me, and I've just sort of shared it with everyone, and people just love it. And and it keeps me, I take in less alcohol, which gets me less drunk, which then I don't overeat because I tend to overeat when I'm just a little bit tipsy.
What is that about that? I feel the same way. I feel like I can be going along just fine, but, you know, if I had a cocktail, it's suddenly like a loosened, like my eye goes to dessert, and it's like I'm thinking about having something that I wouldn't have. And what is that that does that?
Yeah, so there are a whole bunch of physiological responses that are going on, but mainly your inhibitions drop, right? Your stress levels drop. And you, again, if you're in the situation where you're around food, those triggers are going to become much harder to resist. Alcohol also, you know, turns to sugar in the body. So I think what a lot of people don't understand is that, you know, having a couple of drinks may even the next day make you crave that sugar and dessert mm-hmm. a little bit more than you would otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we've covered water, nutrition, let's talk about movement.
Yeah, so movement for me is completely separate from exercise, right? So these are two fully separate pillars. And people are always like, I don't know why. We are meant to be moving all day long, but now we're sitting all day long. And so I'm trying to reignite and teach people the habits of moving their body throughout the day. Because our body, when we're seated, our blood flow is restricted, our heart rate is less, so our metabolism is stunted. So if I can get people up and moving, even just little things like buying a little $10 headset at like the drugstore to wear during a call and be up pacing, you know, during some of their phone calls, they can get, you know, 500 to 1,000 extra steps in. And they're not just sitting there, right? I think we tend to just sit so much. It's very dangerous for us. It's really a health crisis that's going on. So there's a saying now, it's, you know, sitting is the new smoking because it's creating the same sort of cellular damage that smoking does. So really thinking about moving your body. And I don't mean going to a gym. I mean like just at lunch saying, okay, I'm going to eat for 15, 20 minutes and I'm going to go out and I'm just going to circle the block for 15 or 20 minutes and making this new habit, something that, you know, you can sustain. Nothing crazy, right? I'm not saying you have to walk miles and miles and miles, but really working to figure out, like, how can I be just slightly more active during the day?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I know that for us, what we've done is just now, you know, being at the office working, and I mean, I'm running around the kitchen a lot, but just like now, you know, saying, let's go for walk around the block, or yeah, let's go for two or something, and how that creates and makes you feel more creative and sort of less stress and just puts a little bit of break in the day. So what are some other ways that people can just incorporate more movement into their life?
Yeah, I think everything that I'm teaching in the book, the basis of everything that I teach is habit formation, right? So if your habit now, you know, if habits, we don't know they're going on, right? Habits are things that we've relegated to a part of the brain where we're not present for them, right? So we just do them. So I think really thinking through setting actual appointments for those walks or being very specific, right? So I guard my walk with my son and dog to school every morning. It's, you know, at 7:50, we leave the house. I'm home by 8:20. It's 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at 2:30 in the afternoon. There's a meeting in there and no one can take that from me when I am home, right? So those kinds of meaningful connections, especially with relationships, like you said, like it's really getting outside with people that you care about. There's nothing like it.
Nothing like it. Yeah.
It's magic, I think. So.
And then how is exercise different and what do you recommend?
Yeah, so exercise is where you actually stress the cardiovascular system, right? It's that pumping that heart and using the muscles, right? Actually rebuilding that, because we're sitting so much, we're atrophying, right? We're just kind of like really degrading really fast at this point. So exercise for me is about building back that lean muscle, having a core base of stability and strength, and really being able to enjoy your life, right? I have two boys. I'm running around with them constantly. I want to be fit and healthy to keep up with them. It's really about that. And to me, exercise in this world that we don't move in anymore cannot be considered part of your eating plan, right? Like you cannot have extra because you worked out in a day. In this day and age, we're just kind of getting back to even, right, with that. So I recommend for people to do what they like and stop with all the should. Mm-hmm. The greatest transformations that I have ever seen are because people said, I love to dance, right? I have a woman who now, you know, she couldn't figure out what to do for exercise. And now she's dancing six nights a week at Arthur Murray in New York. And she's competing in ballroom now. And she's in her 50s and she gave up dance in her late teens. And she's returned to it now. And she's just, she doesn't go to the gym. She's found what makes her passionate. If you love it, do it, you know. Target 100, again, is just looking for like 100 minutes of exercise in a week to begin with, right? It's you don't need to kill yourself. You just need to be very specific about what you like and getting and carving out that time for exercise.
I love it. And what about sleep? I mean, that is, I would say, easier said than done. Certainly for a woman in her 50s.
Very much easier said than done. Sleep is the one, I think, it's the sleep and stress, you know, these two pillars that I think a lot of people don't think of in their, you know, when they think about weight loss, right? I think sleep is underestimated. Every single thing in our body that needs to regenerate and needs to heal and needs to detox happens while we're sleeping. So we need our rest and we need, you know, they really believe we need between 7 and 9 hours. Now, that's a big sweep of time. I mean, you know, you may not need 9, but 7 is good. Really finding out what the right amount is for you and being guarding it again, like I'm kind of like crazy about the way I guard my sleep and the way I, you know, even traveling, you know, I make sure that I try to stay on my own time zone and get up at the same time I would, you know, tomorrow morning I'll get up at 4 here in Chicago because I would have gotten up at 5 in New York. You know, it just is what I'll do. I don't look at the clock. I look at the time. So I think thinking about sleep as that time at which your body is healing, regenerating, and detoxing, you know, I laugh at all these sort of like Shape magazine, like 3-day detox, you know, and I'm like, well, or you could just sleep the right amount of time, right? But it's hard. There are a lot of things competing for our attention these days. And I think it's about understanding that, again, sort of the same way that, you know, you've learned to navigate urges in the kitchen. You're going to have urges in each one of these pillars, right? The urge to stay up late, the urge to stay on your phone or to watch another show or to stay up late to talk to a, you know, a friend on the phone or whatever is, you know, competing for that time and learning to be kind of like, okay, no, I have, this is part of my health and wellness plan is that I do the best I can to get to bed at the right time.
So when you're working with people, what are some of the tips and things that you give them to help them, you know, do that? I mean, for someone like me, that's a challenge.
It's a challenge,
you know, I'm
right?
on the phone.
Totally.
And, one of the strategies I have is when I stay at Roy's, which is probably 6 nights a week, you know, he's like, oh, that phone's going off, you know. So now I've gotten in the habit, I totally silence my phone.
I love that.
And I say to my kids, if there's an emergency, and then call Roy.
Yes.
If you need to reach me because, yes. you know, because, you know, we all get texts in the middle of the night. There's just things that come through and weird phone calls.
Yeah.
So he's sort of that person. And I sleep much better at his house because by like 10 o'clock, I'm not using that phone anymore. Whereas like my house last night, midnight, I am still, you know, replying.
Absolutely. Yes. Right. And you see how it's like a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But I just love that you've felt the difference, right? I think that would be probably the number one thing, you know, and you and I both have businesses. I have a private client business where I'm pretty much available to these clients 24/7. And so I've kind of not really got the opportunity to just turn this thing off completely. You know, you have a very similar life.
Yeah.
And, but I have learned that like I can take this phone and I have a little spot in my kitchen and I am very intentional. I try to teach my clients this is turning the phone over so
yes.
that you can't see the screen
yeah.
is it's like putting your fork down after a meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. It says to you that I am consciously not going to let this thing grab my attention because you know, stress is a big piece of my plan as well. And what we're noticing now when we look at brain scans and stuff, that the light on that phone, when it lights up or a text comes in, we have a stress response to it. It's absolutely a stress response that goes on. So understanding that if you can just not see that, mm-hmm. you'll be able to focus and enjoy what's going on in front of you. And that's what you're noticing at Roy's, is that, wow, I want to connect with this human. I want to be here with him at this time. I don't want to be kind of like jerking my head off to the side when I see that light come up and not be able to fully focus on someone. So I think really finding a spot to put it in your home at a specific time and where you flip it over. You know, I come home. My husband's a Broadway actor. I'm a solo parent at night. I have two boys. We have homework. We have soccer. We have baseball. We have so many things to do. And I sort of feel like my time with them is so limited and I just need to focus. So that's, I put it there, and then maybe every 30 minutes I go over and I'll flip it over, you know, and I turn it over by about 7. Mm-hmm. But turning it off, turning it over, putting it somewhere where you can't reach it. You know, when I realized that sometimes I was sitting on the couch watching TV while flipping through my phone, I was like doing two things at one time. I was like, this can't be right.
You only do two things at one time? I got two phones. We got sometimes three when we're doing stories. We got, I'd feel really good about that. So talk a little bit about habits.
Yes.
And how do we really, you know, bring those into our life, and what ones help people, and your philosophy?
Well, habits are an interesting thing. They estimate that about 50% of what we do in a day is a habit, right? So everything that we do. And if you start to look at your behaviors, you'll start to see it. You know, everything from the way that you drive to work in the morning to the way you get out of your car to which door you go in on at your home to where you put your keys. Every single thing we do is like a habitual little dance. And you start, when you really start to open your eyes to it, it's pretty phenomenal. You know, when you get somewhere and you go like, oh my God, I have no idea how I got here. It's just, you've really just been habitually doing this pattern, and you get there by your brain being so smart. It can relegate things that you do once, twice, or three times right into this habit loop. So my work really is for people to understand that there's nothing wrong with them. They're not broken, right? There's not, they're, you know, whatever weight issue that they're facing, if they can begin to unravel the habits and the behaviors that got them to where they are, and start to understand that it wasn't about them not understanding what food was better for them, but that perhaps they were, I love the example of like just waking up too late to make breakfast and rushing out the door and just having a cup of coffee and getting over hungry. And by the time lunch comes, the best of intentions, once you're over hungry, you're gonna overeat. So kind of backing that up and saying, this isn't about the fact that you don't know that maybe having two little scrambled eggs and some avocado and some greens would be a smart move. You know that. But if you're getting up too late, then we begin that spiral, right? So I'm triggering people to figure out what's actually going on rather than just looking at the food. So I sort of always say, like, Target 100 is this beautiful program that fits around any other program, right? I come from Weight Watchers. I still love Weight Watchers. I think it's a fabulous plan. I love Whole30. I truly think that's a brilliant plan. And it teaches people so many things. But can you take that and can you begin to say, like, okay, what did I learn in my 30 days on Whole30? And how do I begin to habitualize those patterns? Oh, I learned to cook, or I learned to prep some food. I learned to back this whole thing up and make sure I had breakfast. And that really worked because then I wasn't starving for lunch. My program is about examining the patterns that work for you and layering Target 100's other pillars on top of food plans that work for you, right? So take Whole30 and layer in hydration, movement, exercise, stress, and sleep, and you just turned it into a super program.
When you say the stress, we all have a lot of stress. What can one do about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're estimating that we are living in a pretty much a constant state of low-level stress at this point, just based on the environment, the toxins, the lighting, the every single thing. So what I think people don't understand about stress and food is that when we are stressed, the body actually grabs a little bit of body fat because the body thinks that we're being we're going to be attacked, basically. So the body goes in and grabs a little bit of body fat to power your run away from whatever would have been attacking you in our prehistoric day. And so when the body grabs that little bit of body fat, the brain and the metabolic system says, oh my God, we're losing body fat. We're going to die. Make her hungrier. So we, in a constant state of stress, are slightly hungrier all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So when we are stressed, which also, you know, upsets the stomach, makes us think we're hungry, we have to begin to understand how we can begin to reduce stress. And what I've learned from dealing with so many people is that, again, sort of like the exercise thing, and this is why my approach is always so personalized, is everyone's ability to reduce stress comes from different places. It's just sort of like the exercise piece, right? Some people like this, some people like that. So you could knit, you could read, exercise could act as your stress reliever. You know, figuring out what does it for you and then habitualizing that and learning to, you know, take those deep breaths at certain times of the day of and connecting it to things that are already happening, right? If you know every time you get in your car, you sit down and as you turn the car on, you take three deep breaths, that's just going to be great for you, habitualizing that stuff.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tips that you've helped me with is it's always for me, the day of travel mm-hmm. is like a day I'm going to overeat. Mm-hmm. It's like free calories or something. I mean, it's like you get on the plane and you're going to eat something they give you and then you're, you know, you might have a snack and then you're going to lunch and you know, I likely haven't had breakfast because I leave too early. So then it's like I'm hungry and then I'm going to have a bar. And when you have one of those bars, you might as well have two because it's not really so satisfying. And one of the things you got me to do was to really bring a snack that I feel really good about. So mm-hmm. it's like whether it's like a piece of cheese and an apple and my almond butter. And now it's like I always, if I travel, I have a nice breakfast before I go, even if it's early. I just manage to do that. Those things really, that's helped me because when I get to the airport, it's like that signals a time that I might eat chocolate. And here's the thing. The other thing I've learned from you is it's like eating chocolate's fine. I mean, it's just, it's about not then, you know, one piece leading you to like, you know, three candy bars. But I sort of a habit of when I travel, have something chocolate, which just would sometimes lead me into like a thing of bad eating. So now it's like I feel like I've habitualized in a new way that pattern, and I bring some snack I feel really, really good about, you know, whether it's like little pieces of salami, and I don't end up getting those things, and it ends up being much more like successful.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, do you remember the first time we did it, how it's hard because
yes.
your old habits and behaviors, just like you said, we all have habitualized, not just habits and behaviors, thought patterns. So your thoughts are travel equals overeat, travel
yes.
equals overeat.
Right.
So what we've done over time is habitualize this thought pattern. So it wasn't even that you didn't have the skills to know, oh, it would be smart if I ate a breakfast and brought some lovely snack with me. It's just that you had created this entire other reality over
yes.
time.
Right.
And
right.
each time we do something a new way, the first time is the worst. Right? Because it feels very uncomfortable. We don't know who this is. We don't know how this is going to work out for us. What if I eat this breakfast and eat the buffet at the airport? Who knows? There's a lot of unknown fear of change. But what I love about your story, what you just said is, you know, now that's like shaving a haircut, two bits.
Right.
You did it enough times in a row. This is like my message to everyone is you can literally become anything you want. We are just habit creatures. So if you want to become someone who eats well on travel days, it's about doing it once, doing it twice, doing it three times. And then all of a sudden you're like, I can't believe the old me. I mean, I had the same thing. Travel to me. You put me in a car ride, forget it. Like, we have to stop at every fast food place. I have to stuff my face. Now I can't even imagine that.
Like, right, right.
You just turn into someone different.
Something else that you really helped me with was, you know, I tend to travel about a week a month. And so I might do brilliantly, you know, for 3 weeks. And then that when I'm traveling or whatever, it's the excuse to go off. And then it's just like going crazy and sort of leading you to like coming back. And it's sort of hard, you know, to get on track. So one thing that you really helped me with was that I was traveling and able to lose weight when I was traveling, you know, and that, you know, and then I did it 2 or 3 times, you know, so it was like, okay, well, that's good. The other thing was you said to me, what do you want from your vacation? What is your goal? And I was like, I want to come back and feel rejuvenated. And you were like, okay, so if you're overeating and you're drinking a lot, are you going to be rejuvenated? And I was like, no, I'm not. And I really, really need to be rejuvenated. So then I did trips, because sometimes I'm traveling for work and it could look like the world, like it's all a vacation, but it is also work. And so then it was like, but it's also a time where you are offered all these wonderful things and you might be tempted to do all of them. And so I was like, I really want to come back from the trip feeling rejuvenated. And so I was with people that they were eating too much, they were drinking too much. But I was like, I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to do that. And it was like coming back from a vacation going, oh, you know what? I actually can have a great time, can feel rejuvenated. I don't have to overeat. And I could come back and have lost weight. And that, you know, is well, it was definitely big for me.
It's like eureka. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Wow. I had thought all this shiny stuff over here was exciting, but I really wanted this thing over here.
Yeah.
And that, when you recognize that, I think it's life changing in a lot of ways. For you, what's the magic of weight loss on a vacation, or even just weight maintenance on a vacation?
You mean like
what, do you have to do to make that happen?
Well, you have to not be, you have to be willing not to have a second portions. I mean, you'd say like, okay, I really want to have this, let's say, and I don't eat gluten, but let's say it's a quesadilla, or let's say we're going to have, I mean, when we were in Mexico, I was like, I'm going to eat the tuna tower. That's actually fine to eat. And I'm going to have it every day for lunch, you know, or it's like we had eggs every single day, you know, and it was like, I'm going to have a cocktail every night, but I'm not going to have two. You know, I'm going to do that, but like not have bread. I'm going to do that, but not have dessert. But if I want to have dessert one night, I will. And then on the trip, I mean, a weird thing that I do is when I work out and there's a gym, when there's a gym and I don't have as much working time, I work out a lot.
You do.
When I'm on a trip, I work out more because it's like I actually have more free time in a sense in my day, even if I'm working. So all those things, they just really help. But I mean, a lot of it was just about not overeating, because there's nothing like being on a trip, overeating at dinner, and go back and you feel awful.
That's it, right? I think that's it. Sometimes we do things because we think they are what we should do. Like we get these crazy ideas that vacation should be this gluttonous time where we don't have to think and we can have whatever we want and that's going to make us feel free. And what it really makes us feel is trapped and out of control. So these little subtle shifts that you're saying, you know, I have this crazy magic vacation rule for myself that is 2 meals on, 1 meal off. I do 2 completely clean meals during the day. Usually it's breakfast and lunch because that's super easy to navigate. And I want my glass of wine at dinner on vacation. And then I can expand a little at dinner. I can have something, a local favorite or something like that. And that just seems to be just enough for me to say, like, I still care about my health and wellness and feeling good enough to, you know, enjoy my vacation without, like, I always say, throw yourself on the rocks. It used to be that I would go and make myself sick, you know, on a vacation and think that that was fun somehow. And I don't know where I got that idea, but the idea got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And pulling that back was one of the hardest things of my life, I would say. And it never happens overnight. This is what I try to tell people. Like, if you look at changing your weight as a changing your lifestyle, looking at it as a really a process of undoing thought patterns and behaviors. I think one of the most important things for people to understand is 80% of the thoughts that we've had already. Right. So that's crazy. When I heard that and started studying that, like, okay, so 80% of the thoughts that we have just swirl around in our brain and make us think things that are not true are true. And if we can clear those thoughts and we can have a new thought about vacation, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you did so beautifully, was you thought like, oh, wait, what if I try a new thought about what vacation means to me? And it doesn't mean overeating and it doesn't mean overdrinking and it does mean exercise every day because I have the time. Then we can really transform. But it's when we let those broken thought patterns that are just the same thoughts recycled over and over, then we really struggle. So it's learning to clear those and have new thoughts.
My mom used to say something, and I can't remember what it was, but it's like, if you want to have new actions, you have to put new things in.
Yes.
You can't just be thinking the same thoughts all the time. Never put new information in and think you're going to have any other outcome than the same one.
Yeah.
And very true. One of the other things I really liked is that you've got me on small plates.
Yes.
As a girl who collects small plates, it's a wonderful thing. But, you know, having a small plate and having sort of half vegetable, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, a quarter protein and an eighth of a, you know, fat. So whether it's, you know, marinated onions or one of my magic elixirs or my green goddess dressing or my pistachio pesto. And that is a protocol that really works for me. I don't have a lot of grains. I like grains. What I notice for myself is if I'm eating much rice, if I'm eating, it is very hard for me to lose weight. And it's easy for me to gain weight.
Yes.
And that's just, I don't know for anybody else. I know that for myself. But it doesn't mean once a month I'm not going to have a gluten-free pasta, or once a month I'm not going to have polenta. But if I'm eating grains every day, I'm not going to lose weight.
Now, and
that may be being, you know, in the middle of menopause and being in my 50s, you know?
Yeah, I think it definitely has something, you know, to do with that. But it also, you know, the small plate, we all overeat in this environment. It just is what it is. We've been trained, our eyes have been trained, our bodies have been trained to overeat. So we know from research, if you'll just eat off of this small size plate, and I have to say the joy of my life is the pictures that you send me of your meals. Like, I'm getting these texts and these beautiful plates, and I'm like drooling as I see what you've put on that plate. I don't get these beautiful pictures. Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. It's this idea that what you have on your plate in front of you, you will eat. So if you overdo your plate, you're going to eat it. We all do. It's not – one of us is not more – you know, we're not like magically, you know, more talented than the other person. It's that we learn the tips and the tricks and the tools, and then we put them into action. And I bet now you would feel like, oh, whose plate is that giant platter that I used to eat off of?
Right.
And you're satisfied with the smaller meal, right?
I am. I definitely – my head wants to eat more.
Yes.
And especially like – it's not like I ever want to have, oh, I really need more arugula. It's more like if I'm having a potato, my head is like, I want more of the potato. So it's – I am – that is enough, but there is another part of me that I fight with that wants more.
And that is that prehistoric being that when we saw the woolly mammoth, we had to eat the woolly mammoth.
Right.
Like, we didn't have time to, like, put it in a fridge and cook it up later. We had to overeat what was in front of us. So if you understand that we are drawn to overeating, and then you learn, okay, I know my brain's about to do this to me. It's going to tell me I need more. I'm going to navigate the urge. I'm going to distract myself. I'm going to walk away from the table. I'm not going to go in the kitchen. I'm going to, you know, do whatever it is. Put the leftovers away before dinner, right? Those kinds of little tricks so that you don't have to confront food after you've had your plate.
It's one of the hardest things is confronting food. Roy typically at his house, God love him, does the dishes and puts things
That's
away.
Great.
And he has a smaller kitchen. He keeps things in more order than I do. Sometimes I can be more trouble in terms of like making a bigger mess. But usually I sort of go off and take a bath or something. And he's a delightful man to be in a relationship with. But he will sort of clean up and do the dishes and all that.
What a dream.
I had a friend staying with me last night. She was hungry. And I went down and I got her some strawberries and I got, you know, chicken salad. And I was like, oh, my God, I want some chicken salad. I want some strawberries. I didn't eat it, but it was like I really was aware that I really wanted to eat these things.
Yeah.
And it's if I'm touching the food after a certain point, it's hard for me.
That's it. I have two kids. They're boys. They're growing. One's 10, one's 14. And two things, like the magic thing that I just realized is that my son, he's 14. You would have think I would have gotten here already, is – oh, wow, he can put the food away, and he can empty the dishwasher, and he can put – I was like, how did it take me this long to, like, tell my kids to do the chores?
Right.
Like,
so important.
It's so weird, though. I find it so weird. I called my husband yesterday to say, like, I made Cooper empty the dishwasher. I'm so proud of myself. Like, what is it about that separation of, like, retraining yourself to make someone else do stuff is very funny. Again, habits.
Yes.
But, you know, having to confront that food – that those strawberries, you know, with two boys, I'm feeding them 6 times a day at least.
Absolutely. It's
and so each time I have to confront the food, even just cutting up an apple, I want to eat the apple because my mouth is watering. It could be healthy strawberries and some chicken salad, but you know you're not actually hungry, but your body will send hunger signals because that's what your body wants you to do, is survive. And it thinks, oh my God, I got to eat the woolly mammoth. If you get really good at navigating those signals, right? I'm sure your mouth was watering and I'm sure you had an urge and I'm mm-hmm. sure the brain got involved and was like, oh, but it's healthy food. It's just strawberries and it's just chicken salad. I can have it. That's where we have to really learn to navigate our own little set of guidelines, right, for us to be able to really succeed. Is because if I eat strawberries and chicken salad every night after dinner, or even if I begin the habit of eating after dinner again, someday I'm going to have to beat that one back down.
Totally. And I've recently been doing that thing, which is after, I mean, I'm going on the book tour.
Yes.
You know, being a woman of a certain age, it's not like losing weight is the easiest thing in the world.
No, it's a different story.
I'm around food all the time. So I've just said, you know what, right now I'm not going to eat after dinner. So if I eat at 6:15, I'm just going to say the kitchen is closed. And that's definitely one I'm doing, but it's a struggle for me. So, any tip for me so it doesn't have to be a struggle?
Right. It won't be a struggle after a certain amount of time.
Right.
Honestly, it just won't. And I like the idea that the kitchen is closed. I have this other kind of saying is like, I've helped people lose more weight by moving their location or a piece of furniture than I have by teaching them about food. Because if I can get a person to change, like say you have one of those houses that has the kitchen that bleeds into the family room, right? So you're basically just sitting in your kitchen for the whole night while you watch TV, which a lot of American families have now. I say, like, if I can get someone to either move the side table away from the couch where they used to put their snack so that if they forget and habitually go to get that snack, when they come back, they'll be nowhere to put it. And that will trigger them to understand trying to change. Or go upstairs, like go watch television in your bedroom, because you won't, trust me, you won't go downstairs for that handful of goldfish or whatever crap that I'm going to throw in my face because it's literally 10 feet away from me.
Right.
And I went to get a glass of water and I saw it out of the corner of my eye. So it's moving your location, making sure when you're trying to habitualize something, you really you give yourself a really solid amount of time until the point at which you're like, wow, I can't remember the last time I really had an urge to eat after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know it's solid.
Right.
That's when you'll just sort of like, and until then, it's
just fake it until you make it. That's
fake it
until
you make
saying.
It and understand you're in the battle and don't give up any ground, right? Because each time you give up ground to the brain is going to roar back.
Yes, of course.
So you kind of got to guard this habit that you're building right now. I promise you it'll be one of the greatest habits you do. If I could give a tip to everyone, it's like there's no reason for any one of us to eat after dinner, honestly. The only thing that's happening after dinner is we're being triggered by the television and the commercials and the food that we're seeing, and we're eating while we sit, and we're eating things that aren't healthy because most of us don't go and carve up an apple, and it's some sort of processed snack food that you're going to eat on the couch, and you're going to overeat it because those foods are processed and made for you to overeat. So literally, I promise you, no one is going to fall over dead as they walk up to their bedroom. They will not. They will make it to the morning. You know, it's just a matter of understanding that we're not burning enough at this point to be – we are all overeating. And, and to cut that eating after dinner is one of the hardest habits to break, one of the most important.
So give us your 5 tips for staying in the game.
So I would say – think of the habits that you want to change, right? Just really think about and be specific. Don't do more than about 2 or 3 small things in a week, right? So don't say, I'm going to start exercising this week and I'm going to, you know, start cooking dinner. Food prepping, I think, is big. And I definitely wanted to kind of like throw that back to you because I think you make cooking and prepping look like fun. And I think sort of following people like you and having people like you in our ear is so important. Having a little bit of healthy food around the house, what you see and what you have around you is what you will eat. Definitely stay hydrated and make sure that you're habitualizing water, right? So you can, you know, set an alarm on your phone and make sure you're taking that big glass of water up to bed in the morning. And when you sit up in the morning, just guzzling that down and getting hydrated. I'm trying to think, what are my others?
What about meditating?
Yes, for sure. Meditation, I guess, as a catch-all for stress relief. If meditation really turns you off, like I think not everyone is a born meditator, and that's okay. Figuring out what your stress reliever is, because if you don't, you're going to overeat. You're going to eat. You're going to emotionally eat, which I think is a huge piece of what's happening in America right now, is we've all been conditioned to eat when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're, you know, celebrating a new job, when we're at a funeral. There's just food everywhere. So learning to kind of relieve stress and stop eating out of stress and looking in on that is going to be a huge one. And movement, for sure. I think movement is a stress reliever, and it's going to keep that metabolism up and running. So those would be my things for people to look in on.
Okay. If you guys want meal prep ideas, come over to my account at No Crumbs Left on Instagram or nocrumbsleft.net on the blog. If you haven't gotten your tickets for the book tour, it's happening. We're taking off May 21st, 20 cities all throughout the summer. Lots of fun, so come find me. Liz, where do people find you and where do they find your book?
Great. So you can find Target 100 on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Or small indie bookstores.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All across the country. You can find me on social media at Liz Josephsberg, and it's kind of a funny spelling. It's J-O-S-E-F like Frank, S like Sam, B-E-R-G. And if you're interested in Target 100, I've got target100program.com. I really designed the book so that it's simple enough that you don't even need the book. There's the six pillars. I tell you what it is. I'm not trying to hide this from anybody. It's 100, you know, grams of carbs. It's 100 ounces of water, 100 minutes of movement, 100 minutes of exercise, 100 minutes of extra sleep, and 100 minutes of stress relief in a week. So I want people to just start thinking holistically and in a natural, balanced, and loving way.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. It's been such a pleasure for me to work with you this last since August.
Me too.
Definitely
what a
helped
treat.
Me lose some weight and you know, just learn some things about myself and just sort of look more holistically at my own relationship with food long term. And what's great for me is I haven't been in a rush. It's just like slowly it's been evolving. But I really wanted to have you here today. So thanks for getting on a plane and coming.
I would have walked across fire to get
see
here.
Us. And I know you get to go see Jay Hud tonight. And
yes.
That's exciting and all of that. So everybody, thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Have a great day.